Hello and welcome to the Broadcast Tech Talks podcast. My name is Jake Bickerton and I'm the Editorial Director of Broadcast Tech. The Broadcast Tech Talks podcast shines the spotlight on creative uses of technology in the broadcast industry. On today's episode of the Broadcast Tech Talks podcast is a recording of a speaker session with Tim Burgess, talking about how he's taken the Tim's Listening Party from Twitter through to the radio, through to a very successful podcast, and soon, maybe, we'll be getting a TV series as well. For those that don't know, and I'm sure there's probably no one here that doesn't, but Tim's Listening Parties were created by Tim very quickly into lockdown as a way for music fans to connect over their love of the same album. So the idea was that everyone would get together on Twitter at the same time, all hit play on the same album at home, and then Tim would host it or pass it on to an artist who would then give you insights into every track that you could hear. It became a kind of online phenomenon very quickly, this shared listening experience, bringing people together in lockdown, which is fantastic. Yeah. And then you ended up creating more than 1,000 of them to date. And it's evolved into a radio show and a sort of spin-off podcast.
Yeah.
And then we'll find out more about where it's going as well in this session.
We did one a night for a little bit at 10 o'clock. And that soon became like 8, 9 and 10 because everybody wanted to do them. And then there was an introduction of a new band at 7 o'clock.
I see, right.
Yeah, and then all the festivals weren't happening, so we would do like the equivalent of the lineup, but doing an album, and that's how it became like 10 a day on right. some weekends, which was pretty fascinating, very exhausting. I mean, basically, I do hand it over to the artist who talks about their record, and we all play the record at the same time, and the artist tweets along in real time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would be retweeting everything and I would be kind of like sharing some of my own thoughts about the record too. And because it'd be like, say, me and you talking about something now, someone would be asking you questions and me, you know, so yeah, I'd get some questions. So it'd just be like, it would be an immersive thing.
How did you get people like Paul McCartney involved in it? And there's a big list of like absolutely enormous acts. Here we got Paul McCartney, New Order, Kylie, Oasis. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Blur earlier as well. Iron Maiden, who seemed like they were absolutely enormous. Yeah. What was your approach? Did you just happen to know all these people anyway? I mean, what?
Well, originally, the first couple of weeks, I went through, my direct messages on Twitter, and then after that, everybody came to me. That way. I mean, I asked for a few of my favourites, and when Paul McCartney, I think it was Matt Everett who sort of like said that Paul McCartney had a new album coming out, and there was a little interview with him, and I just asked any chance of a listening party. Usually people come back to me within, a couple of hours. And 6 weeks later, I'd not heard anything, as you'd expect from Sir Paul. But one day, when I was least expecting it, I just got a Macca thumb emoji. and then it was all systems go and lots of Zooms and lots of telephone calls to management and stuff like that. Yeah. And a few signed records later, we did one, and it was just like an amazing, amazing experience.
After the phenomenal success of the Twitter incarnation of Listening Party, you had a book as well.
Two books.
They're kind of like a compilation of
100 in each one.
100 in each one. Okay, well, because you've done over 1,000.
Yeah, 1,300 now.
Could potentially be a lot of books. And then more recently, it's transitioned into a radio show.
Yeah.
And then a podcast based on that radio show as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how kind of you made that, that transition over?
A friend of mine, or a friend of a friend actually, Ian Lamara.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with him and he kind of talked it through, and it was like a radio show and a podcast. And then kind of like, I don't know what happens after that. I mean, I've never wanted to restrict the listening party in any way. It can go wherever it wants.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as it's guided in the proper way. And then, you know, the podcast became a podcast and it was a radio show as well. And it's like the format hasn't really changed that much. It's like I introduce the record and, you know, and introduce the artist and talk, have a few questions. But basically, I don't need that many questions. It's their record.
Yeah, yeah,
they want to tell me the story of how that record was made.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the excitement, really.
So you have the artist in the studio with you each time?
Yeah, I've done a few on Zoom. A couple.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah. I had COVID, and so I had to do it remotely.
Right. Fair enough.
And, you know, couldn't, you know, the show must go on and everything.
Yeah. And is this something that, do they film it as well, or is it pure radio?
Yeah, no, it's some of it's, well, I don't know. I mean, there's cameras in there. I don't know. Not entirely sure.
Who knows? Fine. So, and
but that, it's not a TV show yet.
Not yet. No, we'll talk about that in a second.
The podcast has been number one pretty much all over the world. You know, I've always known how popular it's been on Twitter. People enjoyed it from the very first moment.
Yeah.
I had 6,000 followers. And
this is way back in the day. It's
10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was doing some friendly. People have always enjoyed it.
Obviously, you can quantify the sort of success of, you know, podcasts and radio. Is it possible to also quantify the success of the Twitter ones as well? Is there any way of kind of measuring the metrics on how many people are sort of tuning in as such?
I suppose, like, the biggest one was Iron Maiden, and that trended on Twitter at number one after, you know, about halfway through the first song, and continued to stay at number one, you know, for quite a long time during the album. But then overnight, I looked at the stats on the kind of like listen on the play again, the replay, and that had over 70,000 just overnight. And it was mostly in South America, which was kind of quite an amazing thing. I mean, you know, heavy metal is quite big in South America, but it was still a breathtaking thing to see that just as I slept.
What's been, you know, your kind of highlights of the listening party so far?
On the radio show?
Yeah.
It was really exciting talking to Dave Davis from the Kinks.
Yeah.
You know, it was a compilation album, which, you know,
we've perfect.
It was perfect for radio, for sure, and all the hits, you know, 40 big ones.
Yeah.
So that was classic. And Skunk and Nancy, you know, that was a really great one too. I mean, with anyone who wants, you know, to be involved, any bands, whether it's Paul McCartney or whether it's like Sophie Royer, you know, someone you've not heard of, it's what they put into and how they engage with people. And the quality of the record, I suppose, that makes a good party.
You know, you clearly set this up originally as a sort of passion project.
Yeah.
You know, connecting fans with bands and, you know, that shared listening experience and all that.
Yeah.
And there comes a point where, even if you don't, someone's going to be thinking you should definitely sort of stop making money from this. And is that happening now? And is that a kind of, is that a focus to some degree of the way forward for it?
I mean, there's not a lot of money in doing a radio show.
Right.
The books, I got a little bit of an advance from. I've shared some of that with the Music Venue Trust, who really struggled during lockdown.
Brilliant.
It was, like you say, it was never intended to be a something that could be monetized. But the idea is to, you know, just to keep building it and not restrict it. So wherever it goes next, you know, I want it to be authentic, and it'd be amazing for it to make money. I mean, of course.
And for the next stage after the radio and podcast, I understand there's a live show coming up and also potentially TV as well. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the idea for the live show?
Okay, well, I mean, the live show, we've like put our sort of like toes in the water a little bit. I was asked to do one at Latitude a couple of years ago. I've done a few at Blue Dot Festival, and I've done one at Abbey Road with the remaining members of The Fall. We'd have a pre-listening party where we'd all sort of chat on a format like this, and then we'd actually all join in on the Twitter one that you know the world could get involved in.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I've got James Acaster, one at Latitude. He's made I know he's a comedian, but he's made a brilliant record with
Quell
Chris. Music. Oh. Yeah. And that's really exciting. But the idea is to do some in London also, hopefully quite soon, but, you know, but when the time's right. Even though on the surface, I suppose, it looks like it's quite, you know, just a thing that happens, just like, you know, I'm yeah. just typing away or whatever, or somewhere. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
People are interested in doing a TV show. There's a couple of people who've contacted us about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see it happen, and I'd be like, well, okay, yeah, when the time is right, the time's gonna be right. During lockdown, I have been told that people were pitching on my behalf at TV shows without me knowing about it,
nice.
Which is kind of like
surreal.
Surreal. It's exciting and a bit upsetting as well. I'm sure they would have told me
eventually,
yeah, especially if I was presenting it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely on the cards. I mean, people are interested in doing one.
Yeah, you're kind of in the moment in those conversation stages. Then nothing's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I think that'd be great.
Yeah,
you know, that's naturally where it. Yeah. I thought the radio show and the podcast. It seemed like everyone thought that that's naturally where it should go next, and TV should be the next one too after that.
We've got only 5 minutes left, and we do have some questions from here.
Okay.
Before I go to these questions, I want to ask you one question, which is there's a lot of talk about AI at the moment, and you know, there's a lot of artists or pro and against it, and you know, experimenting. I mean, how do you feel? Would you like to see an AI charlatans track coming out? You know, a bit like they've been a Drake and Oasis.
It's funny you should say that, because I actually I went to GPT and I kind of like wrote in write a song in the style of the Charlatans, and it wrote stuff like I'm walking along dreaming as I come to the, and it was like, you know, kind of similar to some of my lyrics, but and I asked it a couple of times to try and improve on it. And then I started writing some chords to it. So I've written an AI, you know, I mean, for a minute I thought I'd do an EP, then I probably won't, but it was just an interesting thing to do. And I found it really exciting because my son finds it, you know, boring reading books.
Yeah.
So I got AI to write a limerick for him, including all his favourite things, like his toys and Star Wars and Lego and things like that.
If you read out the one...
Well, okay, so the first one is come through as Twitter's going through a few changes under Mr. Musk's ownership. Are you still happy with how it works and its direction, or should we worry that he's breaking it? I don't know how much it has affected me personally. I mean, there's that whole thing about the, you know, the blue tick, which you know, it's just ridiculous.
Do you have one still?
No. And you know, I'm not interested in buying it. I mean, I did have a Tim emoji, which was gifted to me, and Elton John, which I was very pleased about.
No one else, just the two.
It was funny because I had to renew it. Not money wise, just had to remind them, because it was only up for 3 months, and then I had to keep reminding them. And now, of course, now Elon Musk has sacked everybody.
Is that gone?
That's gone now.
Oh,
but I don't. I've got no point of contact to maybe I should. try him. But anyway, that's that. And then there's another one here. Said, you've had amazing guests on the listening party. Who would be my dream guest? I mean, I would always say Kate Bush, and I would always say RZA from Wu-Tang Clan. Oh, this is brilliant. Yeah, do you find listening parties help artists find a new perspective on their own work? Okay, so there's a great story about Dex's Midnight Runners, and a brilliant band from the, I guess, late 70s, early 80s, and they're still going now. But I mean, Kevin was really reluctant because he doesn't like looking back, and he didn't like any of his records that he'd made.
What, even a Dexys?
He didn't like the first three albums, even though they're masterpieces, and everybody tells him that.
Yeah.
And so the first lineup of Dexys, there's about eight people, and they'd all fallen out. But they all wanted to get involved, and they all became friends again.
Well, after
the listening party.
Amazing.
And not only that, Kevin said he loved the album because he'd heard it with a new perspective, listening, because you can really, even though you know, you can feel that there's thousands of people all over the world listening yeah. with you.
Yeah.
And he must have felt that and had a brand new kind of like perception, brand new view of a work that he'd hated for 40 years.
That's amazing, yeah.
And it happened with all his albums. It was like a different lineup. Dexys Part 2 was like 10 people, all different people, you know, and they all became friends again. And they all sort of, and then he loved all that. So anyway, that's the story. And he mentions it all the time.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. What a great legacy, along with everything else, listening party obviously as well. Right, we have to stop because it's on zero.
Okay.
Can we have a round of applause for Tim, please?
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Many thanks for listening to today's episode of the Broadcast Tech Talks podcast. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next one.